Psalm 130, please. As we have been announcing, we want to speak on the subject this evening of suicide. Not an easy subject to talk about, preach about, or to consider, but it is a sad reality in our generation. And I believe that as a church and as a congregation, we need to offer the hope that there is tonight. And so we pray that what we have to say this evening, while I know it will come in great weakness and much inability, I pray that what we have to say this evening will be of benefit and most of all will bring glory to the Lord. Psalm 130, verse number 1 says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Can we still our hearts, please, in the presence of God, and ask you for your prayers very particularly tonight. And God will give grace, and God will give help. Eternal God and our Father, we are thankful tonight for the Word of God. And we praise the Lord tonight that in thy Word, there is the answer to all the needs of the human heart. And Heavenly Father, we pray this evening as we would consider thy word in the light of the subject of suicide. We ask, O God, that tonight you'll bring that light out of darkness. And Lord, bring that hope out of hopelessness tonight. O God, we pray this evening for help to deliver the word. Help to heed and help to understand. And O God, we pray that we as thy people, may we be better equipped. Lord, even as those may cross our pathway, Lord, with such thoughts and intentions on their mind, O God, help us to point them to Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you be pleased to take to thyself all of the glory. Lord, take for a name to thy name tonight, we pray. Lord, to this end, we pray, hide this preacher behind the cross of Christ. God, we pray you'll empty us of self. Fill us with power. Oh God, we pray that tonight may the voice of God, not the voice of man, be heard. So hear and answer prayer and continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. In 2018, in our province, 307 people decided that their life was no longer worth the living. 307 people in 2018 come to that point in life where life was so difficult. The situation that they found themselves in, they believed, was so dark that they could find no other way out. And very tragically, they decided to end their lives. The breakdown of those figures between male and female is very, very startling. Of those 307 people who in 2018 ended their lives intentionally, 228 were male and 79 were female. Almost 75%, three quarters of those were male. Of those 307, the largest concentration of death by suicide by age groups were found to be in the 25-45-year-old age groups, although around 1 in 8 who were over 60 also saw no other way out. So this is a very real problem, but most especially for, it seems, young men. And while we do not have as yet the statistics for 2019, I'm fairly sure, given what happened over Christmas in so many homes, particularly in this city, I'm fairly sure that the figures will be similar, if not even higher. The stigma, the pain that families who are affected by suicide have to deal with is immense. The suffering and the pain for those left behind doesn't stop with suicide. Now this evening, I wanted to make it a very, very abundantly clear that I am no expert by any stretch of the imagination on this subject. Yes, I've had to deal with it in a very limited way, knowing people affected by it. But in preparation for this message tonight, I've spoken with medical professionals. I have spoken as well with those who deal with this subject on a much, much more regular basis, sad to say. I've got their advice, got their guidance, and much of what I have to say tonight is a result of what they have said to me. My desire in speaking on this subject this evening is seek to bring hope to those who feel hopeless, to bring light to those who are in a very dark place. Because no matter how hopeless the situation may be, and no matter how dark the situation may be, suicide is never the answer. And so tonight, as God gives help, I want us to look at this subject for a time. Seek to be as compassionate, tender, and considerate in my dealing with this subject, but also to be consistent with my calling as a minister of the gospel and as a follower of Christ. Three things we want to consider about this subject this evening. First of all, the causes. Causes of suicide. There is a very real view that everybody who commits suicide must be insane. Now, at least temporarily, at the point of taking their life, they may be, but one doctor said to me that in his experience, the majority of those who take their lives are in control of their lives up until that point. Fundamental to all of these causes that we will consider tonight is the cause of suffering. Job said that man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Suffering is fundamental to all people. We must trace back where that suffering comes from, because our suffering comes as a direct consequence of our sin when man fell in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, in the verse 17, we read, "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And so following on from that suffering, people suffer in a variety of different ways, whether it's physical suffering, mental suffering, emotional suffering. And you see, it is the outworkings of these sufferings then that can cause people to consider ending their lives. I suppose we could go on and on and on and list any number of causes for suicide. Let me suggest to you some. First of all, there is depression. I suppose that's the first thing that jumps into the mind whenever we hear that somebody has taken their life. But that's not always the case. There are those certainly dealing with very severe mental illnesses, bipolar, schizophrenia, psychotic depression. The chemical imbalances in their brains are such that they suffer these hallucinations and voices in their heads, and And their mind is in a very irrational, confused state. But then there are those who are extremely and entirely rational. And they have made a rational decision that they want to end their life. Now, that decision, that conclusion is wrong. But they have arrived at that decision. And while we will focus this evening particularly on those who have no hope outside of Christ, yet this is also a very real topic in the life of God's people. Elijah was such a man. That prophet of fire, that mighty man of God. Yet he arrived at the point in his life where he wanted his life to end. Up until that time, he had been entirely rational. But he came to that conclusion, and it was wrong. But he came to that conclusion that life was no longer worth the living. There's also darkness as another cause of suicide. And I suppose that follows on from what we have said. Those who see no purpose in life. Those who see no meaning in life. And their suffering, whatever form it may take, their suffering is too great. Sadly, today in the society, many turn to drink and to drugs in an attempt to cope with the pressures of life. In an attempt to get out of the darkness that they're in, they turn to more darkness. And that gets a grip on them. And the spiral then is only downwards. And the addiction to alcohol becomes so great that it cannot be broken by their own efforts and even by the best intentions of others. And it brings them to a very dark place. Those who are addicted to drugs, believing that the drug will give them some relief from their suffering. But then that suffering only intensifies. And they're brought to a place of utter hopelessness through addiction. The darkness of the mind is a very dark place indeed. Another cause for suicide, not only depression and darkness, but also difficulties. Perhaps because of some difficulty in the personal life, home life, family life, some change at home. People can't cope with that. Now, of course, life brings many changes. Life constantly changes. By the grace of God and the goodness of God, many can cope okay with that, but there are others who can't. Perhaps there's a change in health. An illness comes and the news isn't good. And there can be this view that you might as well end life now while you have some ability to do so. Others, as a result of some change in their life or in their home, can very quickly come to that spur-of-the-moment decision where they have ended their life, and I know that to have happened. And very quickly, they decide to end their life because of some disappointment, and they cannot deal with it, and they do not know how they would ever deal with it. Perhaps there are financial difficulties, business problems, bankruptcy is looming, and the shame and the stigma that comes with that failure personally, financially, and failure in a collective manner in your business or corporation. The whole stigma of that is too much. leading to many, because of that, to take their life. But losing your home, losing your business, is nothing compared to losing your soul. Another cause for suicide is the devil. The devil is the one who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Tonight, the devil is the enemy of the soul. Tonight, the devil seeks to attack people's minds so much to bring them to that place where they believe they have no hope at all. And he seeks to bind people in that place of utter hopelessness and utter helplessness. And perhaps because of some awful thing they have committed, and the devil says there's no hope, there's no mercy, there's no way back. Of course, we know the devil is a liar, and a liar from the beginning. It is important to point out just now that suicide is nothing new. While sadly it is particularly rampant across our society, it's nothing new. Because as you read through the scriptures, you will find those who came to the conclusion, the wrong conclusion, that their life was now hopeless, and they ended their life. There was Abimelech, the son of Gideon, became a judge of Israel, and after the death of his father Abimelech, ascended to great power. But that power went to his head, and he sought to destroy his 70 brethren, engaged in a military campaign. But in that campaign, he was severely wounded. A millstone, a very large millstone, was dropped upon his head, and he couldn't bear the shame of that defeat, and he turned to his armor bearer there in the book of Judges. He turned to his armor bearer and asked him to take his life. Abimelech died, and he wanted his life to end. Saul, who served as the first king, disobeyed God in so many ways and forfeited the kingdom, and in that final battle with the Philistines, recorded at the end of 1 Samuel, severely wounded and again asking his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through." But when his armor bearer would not, he, Saul, took the sword himself and took his own life. The armor bearer followed afterwards. Ahithophel, who served as David's counselor and very close friend, but then conspired with Absalom to overthrow his father. And Ahithophel joined Absalom's coup. And he gave counsel, Ahithophel gave counsel to Absalom as to how he could entirely get rid of David, entirely take over the kingdom, but that plan failed. And David was still alive. He went home defeated. He couldn't deal with the shame. He went home, set his house in order, and then he took his own life. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples of the Lord, betrayed Christ to death. Realizing what he had done, he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." He went out and took his own life. Many causes for suicide, but behind them all is the power of darkness saying that there is no hope. and that there is no other way out. We live today in a society where sin is glamorized. We live in a generation where sin is acceptable, and so many people fail to see the awful, terrible nature of sin, how low it can bring people. The causes of suicide. But I want us to consider then the consideration of the suicidal. As we've said, suicide is wrong. It's the taking of life. That life that God has given us, we'll see. But for those who contemplate, those who consider ending their life, they see their life as miserable. Not worth living. No way out, not content, overcome with the situations, nothing to look forward to, maybe overcome with guilt and this feeling of being trapped. And ultimately they feel that no one cares. No one understands. But such a consideration is flawed. Those who reach such a state have, first of all, a flawed view of themselves. You see, this generation, and every generation, I suppose, to a lesser or greater degree, but particularly this generation, has been brought up on the lie of evolution. That you and I are here just as the result of some accident. We've been brought up believing that we are here because of the result of some big bang millions of years ago. The lie of evolution has created within the minds of so many in this society that thought of having absolutely no value. People just see themselves as some accident. They see their life having no purpose. They see their life as worthless and useless. But that is a flawed view of life. All mankind, all are created in the image of God. All created distinct and different and special in the eyes of the Creator God. We are not accidents, folks. We are all God's creation. Unique and special in the eyes of Almighty God. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And that is one of the reasons why in our youth fellowships in September onwards, we've been bringing our young people back to the basics. Because evolution is not only a lie, it's an awful, awful heresy. Because it shows people that they have no value. But thank God tonight we are fearfully, wonderfully made. Every fiber of our being, every part of our life, every part of us designed and created individually and uniquely and distinctly by God. Our bodies, that unique design of human systems and organs, all designed by God. That cardio system of ours that gives us energy. That muscular system that gives us the strength and the ability to move. That digestive system that allows us to take in food and digest food. Our immune system that keeps us healthy. Our eyes that cause us to see. our ears that cause us to hear, our nose that calls us to smell, our tongue and our mouth that lets us talk and eat and taste. All of these systems within mankind uniquely made by God. We are not accidents. We are God's creation. And you see, flowing on then from this, there is this flawed view of God. Because the lie of evolution is such, it sees people being abandoned in this world without anyone to care. They fail to see the great love of our great God. They fail to see the truth of those words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much God loved those He created. He gave His Son. And that's why, as we'll see in a moment, when we approach this subject from a biblical, scriptural point of view, things will be so different. You see, in the darkness of despair, and that point where perhaps even tonight, in some home, in some situation, those who have come to the conclusion, nobody loves me, nobody cares. Thank God tonight in the midst of that despair, there is the love of God. There is the one who is the refuge. There is the one who satisfies our souls. There is the one who has come to give life and give life more abundantly. There is the one who tonight, in the midst of the dark situations that we may face, comes to give us real life. That is why, as Moses spoke to the tribes just before his own death, and he says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing," he said, "choose life. Choose Christ." Because there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sin, took our place, who loved us so much that He died to save us out of the darkness and the despair, that in the midst of the hopelessness tonight, there is the hope of Christ. Many tonight feel that no one cares. Many tonight feel that no one is interested in them. Yet there was a Father in heaven who loved this world that He created. Loved this world so much, He sent His Son to be our Savior. That's how important you and I are to God. You read through the earthly ministry of Christ, and you'll see how that time and a time again, from place to place He went, Christ was interested in the individual. Thank God tonight, He's still interested in individuals. They have a flawed view of themselves. They have a flawed view of God. But those who consider suicide also have a flawed view of eternity. From many pulpits today, there is the lie told. Everyone goes to heaven. And if you weren't here at our gospel mission whenever the Reverend Higginson preached on that subject of lies told at funerals, then you make sure you listen to it. One of the most powerful sermons I've heard in a very long time. I'm not just saying that because it was him. Everyone goes to heaven. And then that gets into the mindset of people. They're in a better place. They'd be better off dead. But the Bible makes it very clear that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. For those who in life have repented of their sin and embraced the plan of salvation. And then there are those tonight who will tell us, well, sure, there's nothing after this life anyway. Do you see, folks, how that removing ourselves time and time again from the Word of God doesn't make this society any better? Doesn't improve society? Doesn't help people in society? Scriptures tell us it is appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. I must say, being faithful to the Lord and in gospel compassion, those who die in sin, and those who end their lives still unrepentant, the sufferings of this life will be nothing to the sufferings of a lost eternity. Suicide will not end the pain. It will only usher in a greater extent of it. A flawed view of yourself, of life, of God, of eternity. That's the consideration. But then there's the cure. Suicide is not inevitable. It is always preventable. There is always a better way than the way of suicide. Because no matter how dark, how difficult, how distressing the situation may be that you're in, there is always a better way. There is always help. There is always hope. I have classed this cure into two different categories. First of all, there's good help. Good help. For those who suffer with such thoughts, and this is nothing new, but it needs to be repeated again and again. For those who suffer such thoughts, they need help. Yes, certainly there needs to be more widely available mental health abilities and facilities. But talking to someone, sharing how you feel, talking is so important. You think of the example of Elijah. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He cut himself off from everybody. It's important that you do not do that. It's important as the people of God, you do not cut yourself off from God's people or from God's house, but that you talk. The people you talk to may not be trained they can listen. They can try to help in whatever way they can. I want to make it abundantly clear tonight to you that as your pastor, and I trust as your friend, that if you need ever to talk to me, you do that. At any time of the day or night, you do that. People say, I don't want to disturb you. You have enough on your plate. Never think like that, please. We're here to help in whatever way we can. Seek that help. Get out. Don't shut yourself away. Get into the fresh air. Surround yourself with friends. As God's people today, we need to be concerned with those who have such thoughts. Not just to cast them off. We need to realize this is a real problem. And there's a very fine line, very fine line, between thinking and doing. We need to be compassionate. Treat them with love. We need to be committed. That's good help. But then there's gospel help. When Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi, there was a man whose life changed in an instant. And that jailer, in a moment of time, because of a very sudden change in his circumstances, that spur of the moment experience that we talked about a few moments ago, he came to the conclusion, right, this is it, I have to die. Paul and Silas, who were considerate and were aware of what was happening, they cried out to that man, do thyself no harm. Paul said, ending your life is not the answer, but the answer to your life is Christ. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The answer to suicide is Christ. Now I know tonight there will be those who will say, well, that's one of the answers maybe. At the end of the day, it's the only answer. Yes, there are social programs. There are helps out there. They must be availed of. But the lasting answer, I believe, is always found in Christ. He cares. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. He is gracious. He is loving. He is tender. Thank God tonight in the midst of the darkness, Christ brings hope. Christ brings meaning to life. He gives life, abundant life. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of hope. It's the gospel of light. It's the gospel of salvation. Christ is the light in the darkness. Christ is the hope in the hopelessness. Because thank God tonight, no matter what we have done, there's always forgiveness with Him. In Psalm 130 in the verse 7, we said, with the Lord there is mercy. With Him there is plenteous redemption. Grace to cover all my sins. And thank God tonight through Christ, that gulf between God and man is bridged. Man without Christ tonight, whether he realizes or acknowledges it, man without Christ is hopeless. This society tonight without Christ and the gospel is hopeless. But thank God tonight for Christ, who is the hope of the gospel. He is that friend that will never leave you. He is that one that you can turn to who will never disappoint you. How should you deal with any individual who may cross your pathway, who have such thoughts? Take them on a biblical journey. Show them how that they are created by God. Show them how that they're loved by God. Take them to Romans 5, verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Show them how that they can be forgiven by God. Verse number 4, there is forgiveness with thee. Show them that there's hope through the Christ of God. That little verse we read around the Lord's table this morning, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verse number 5 we read, and in his word do I hope. Call upon Christ. That's what the psalmist did. In the opening words of the psalm, when he said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Thank God tonight that out of the depths of the darkness of the mind, and out of the depths of the sense of hopelessness that so many people find themselves in, they can cry unto the Lord. Would you pray that tonight, that in this city, and perhaps even closer to home in this district, that someone who has come to the conclusion that life is no longer worth it, that they would cry unto the Lord. That they would see in Christ their hope. To those whose mind is in a fog, to those tonight whose life is in a mess, Christ can take the pieces of your broken life, make it over anew. Thank God tonight for the gospel. Thank God tonight for the hope that the gospel brings. Doesn't mean life's always going to be rosy, not at all. Doesn't mean that life will be without its difficulties if you were to give your life to Christ. No, not at all. When you give your life to Christ, he'll be with you through every storm and through every trouble. And you'll be able to say, as the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Many will say tonight that the church has failed. I've heard that, and I've been told that. May this church never fail in its preaching of the gospel. Because the gospel is still the only answer. Many have turned away to other programs, to other methods. But those methods don't bring hope. Thank God tonight for the gospel. Tonight, in this meeting, if you're here without Christ, you do not know the Savior of whom we speak. you do not have this hope this evening in Him, thank God you can have that hope tonight. If you'll but cry unto the Lord. The light in the darkness of suicide is Christ. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Thank God tonight that to this city, which has been plunged into death and darkness and despair, there is still the light of the gospel. May man, woman, young man, young woman, older man, older woman, turn to Christ tonight. Give their lives over to Him. And no matter how far down we may go, and no matter what we may have done, no matter what it may have happened in our lives that has caused us to come to that conclusion that life is no longer worth the living, thank God, no matter how far down we go, Christ can still lift us up out of the depths. We can still cry to the Lord. Let's bow and pray.